I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Ballot Talks on Radio Times. It's part four of our series offering unsolicited advice to the next mayor of Philadelphia, whoever he or she will be. And today we focus on how to improve the city's economy. While there are a number of bright spots, including the booming eds and med sector and the vibrant core of the city, one quarter of the residents is poor. Too many high school graduates don't have the skills to find a good job. Too many don't graduate at all. The tax system is not particularly business friendly, and the infrastructure is in need of upgrade and repair. So today, what can the next mayor do to attract large and small businesses, make the city more competitive on a global scale, grow a skilled workforce, and create good jobs? We have four guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio, and let me introduce them to you. Lee Huang is Senior Vice President and Principal at eConsult Solutions. Lee, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty.
Also with us is Roz McPherson. She's President and CEO of the Urban League of Philadelphia. Roz, nice to have you with us as well.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Also with us is Josh Seven. He's Managing Director of Regional Engagement at the Economy League of Greater Philadelphia. Josh, nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And rounding out our quartet of guests is Jenny Sparandara, and she's Director of JOIN, which stands for the Job Opportunity Investment Network. And Jenny, nice to have you with us on Ballot Talks as well.
Good morning.
Let me start with a kind of a global question, and perhaps, Lee, I'll toss this first to you, but what kind of an economy is being handed off to the next mayor of Philadelphia, whoever that will be?
I think it's a pretty strong economy. I'm very bullish about the near-term and long-term future of Philadelphia in terms of being a city that the new economy and that young people want to participate in. You have a nice mix of industries. You mentioned the eds and meds. I would also include a growing energy sector, a transitioning and transforming manufacturing sector. Tourism and hospitality is strong. We have a growing number of excellent public spaces that are draws not only for residential but also for employer and employee excitement. You have an increasing number of public schools that are working for families. You have burgeoning entrepreneurship activity, whether it's the Enterprise Center or the Maker Movement or Nerd Street. So there's a lot of good stuff going on. I'm very bullish about Philadelphia.
Josh, you share that same bullishness or optimism?
I'll say I agree with all the same fundamentals, and I think those are important ones to focus on. I do think when you just look at the numbers and how fast we've been growing, the fact is it's been kind of maintained at a bit of a slower pace. I think where I do share that level of optimism is for the first time in a long time, when you look at the overall regional economy, in a lot of ways the city is outperforming its surrounding area. When you look at small business creation, when you look at small business employment growth, Philadelphia, for the first time in a long time, is leading. And I think that has a lot to say about the improving fundamentals and the strengthening of the city's core economy.
How do you see it, Roz?
Well, a different way. Because
that's why we have four guests. No, go ahead.
Because I exist in a different space, a tale of two cities. We have 16% unemployment among African Americans in this city. And that is a really bad number. And it is very difficult for small businesses owned by African Americans to get funding, the kind of funding that would allow them to build capacity and create jobs. So I think it's very important to recognize that while things are dramatically improving for Philadelphia as a whole, the serious unemployment among African Americans has to be addressed.
Do you want to weigh in on that, Jenny? And again, sort of how do you see the city in its totality, or even with some of our other guests have said here?
Yeah, I mean, what we focus on most intently is how prepared are the people in our community to respond to the growth that Lee or Josh or even, you know, some of the challenges Roz are speaking about. So, I mean, the reality is 30% of Philadelphians lack the skills they need to be successful in a 21st century economy. And you'll hear folks refer to that in lots of different ways. But how do we sort of shorten the distance between the skills people have and the skills employers seek? And that's what we spend a lot of our time thinking about.
And I wonder, Josh, I mean, if it is a tale of two cities, I mean, it's good for some sectors of the city, obviously not so good for other sectors of the city. But as a whole, you can't have a city with this great sort of disparity between haves and have-nots, it seems.
Well, I'm afraid we have been.
But going forward,
there's definitely a way to do better. I think part of the issue is it's a lot easier to, I think, make progress around inclusion and kind of training when you do have a growing economy. It just it gets you into a more virtuous cycle. It allows us to have more of a tax base, to spend money on the kinds of services that are especially about investing in all of our human capital, and just more opportunities across the economy to connect into. I think part of the challenge in closing that disparities gap has been a slow-growing economy where there isn't as much growth in resources to be able to make sure everyone is coming along with the growth that we do have.
I have to say, this is the fourth of our series, and we've in each one of those have talked quite a bit about the schools, and we need to do that as well. And this one, Leif, I can go back to you. And as you said, there are, and it's clear, there are schools in the city that are doing quite well. There are schools, obviously, that are not. And again, the question is, you know, how do you lift all boats?
You definitely have to invest in schools. We are in a modern economy where education is paramount. I mentioned the transitioning manufacturing sector. Manufacturing requires a significant amount of skill and education now if you want to have a meaningfully well-paying career. That is different from two generations ago when the middle class was buoyed by a lot of well-paying manufacturing jobs. We're in a situation where we need to invest in education in order to maintain that manufacturing base of jobs.
You're nodding your head, Roz. It's hard to disagree with that.
Well, it is hard to disagree with that. And education is the key to everything, quite frankly, because an educated young person is able to pay taxes, buy a home, and do all kinds of things. And when you have a broken school system and a lot of rhetoric about how to fix it, we're going to be stuck for a while here.
You agree with that, Jenny?
I do. And I think, you know, people graduating is one thing, but people also, to the point that's being made, graduating with the skills they need to be successful in college and career is something that I think folks are beginning to develop a lot more sophistication around. And what we hear from employers all the time is, there are a set of technical skills I can teach, but you need to come to me with a certain set of foundational skills, right? And those are behaviors like showing up to work on time, staying late, working in teams, resolving conflict, but also a set of kind of fundamental math, reasoning, language skills. And I think we have some pockets where we say, wow, we're doing pretty well at teaching those skills, and other ways that we know we're not. And there are places to improve, and I think some ideas for the next mayor.
Like apprenticeships? I mean, things as kind of specific as that?
Absolutely. And internships and work-based learning. You know, we're getting ready to launch into the summer. So folks, I'll put a plug in for summer internship program like the one run by the Philadelphia Youth Network. The best way to learn how to be successful in the workforce is being on the job, right? It's a place where you can actually learn the skills that you need to be a good employee. And so we need to figure out how to get more young people and adults those kinds of experiences.
Let me put something else on the table. I'll toss this to you, Josh. Is Philadelphia business friendly enough from your perspective? And that can have many interpretations.
Sure. Always a tricky one. And I think you can spin the story any number of ways. I think it has been becoming more and more business friendly. Look back to a couple decades ago and you heard a larger din that was kind of around a set of consistent complaints. The wage tax is too high. It's too hard to do business in this city. And I think you've seen slow, consistent cuts in the wage tax and some other business taxes. So I think that. And also, you've seen some neighboring suburban areas implement wage taxes. So the gap, the tax gap, has been narrowing between the city and surrounding area. You've also seen more businesses within the region that had moved out of the city, maybe not move in wholly, but move satellite offices in. So there's a lot about what the market's saying. People may always say, I don't think it's business friendly enough. And behind that may be the interest in kind of getting a better deal. But I think people kind of vote with their feet, and you are seeing modest but more business activity that I think bespeaks an improving business climate overall.
Lee, do you think that the next mayor can build on that and do more to create a more business-friendly environment? And we've done shows on this in the past, and, you know, people call in and complain.
Yeah.
Dealing with City Hall.
Absolutely. I'll echo Josh's sentiment. People are voting with their feet increasingly in our modern economy. employers are sensitized to where do young, intelligent folks want to work, and Philly is a destination place. I won't mention any other cities where I do work, but some of these other cities struggle to attract young talent to those cities. I don't want to live in X. Well, we no longer say I don't want to live in Philadelphia anymore. Mm. In fact, it's the opposite. People are really drawn to Philadelphia. So that's a plus. Taxes are an issue. The fact that we have a local corporate income tax and essentially are therefore punishing profitability, you have these homegrown businesses, and what is the message that we're sending through our tax policy? As soon as you become successful, as soon as you become profitable, we're going to whack you. Mm. So there's no surprise that irrespective of all the amenities in the city, you still have some high-end homegrown businesses that are moving out to the suburbs to avoid that tax.
Roz, I'm thinking about the small businesses. I think there's some like almost 100,000 small businesses in the city. I mean, and you're focused in many ways on minority businesses.
Yes.
What is it like for them, broadly speaking?
Right. So we run an entrepreneurship center at the Urban League of Philadelphia. We're one of 12 national Urban League centers around the country that share some of the same challenges. And that is that there are different rules for getting capitalization, so that a lot of the entrepreneurs that come through our center have a very difficult time getting money. And that's the money that would allow them to build capacity and then be able to hire more people. So we do have some success stories, but we really provide a lot of that technical assistance to make these entrepreneurs ready for bank financing. But even having sat in a couple of roundtable sessions in the past month, it is still a major challenge. So mm-hmm. we find that we often serve as a liaison to the possibility of getting the money to really grow.
And since we're talking about what the next mayor can
right.
do, I'll toss that back to you. So what can the next mayor do to deal with that particular problem?
And having been an entrepreneur myself for more than 9 years, the kinds of contracts that have to be made available, there has to be a real earnest look at what are those contract possibilities and what does it mean to be qualified for that, and how can the city actually help in a much stronger way? Because when it comes to that access, everybody doesn't get to know what's going on, and especially when it comes to the construction piece.
Well, you know what? I'm looking at the clock here. I do want to take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. And this is part four of our series on Ballot Talks on Radio Times, a mini-series offering what we have been calling unsolicited advice of the next mayor of Philadelphia. None of the candidates have asked us to do this program. And today we are talking about the city's economy, how to grow the economy. And the voice you just heard is Roz McPherson. She's president, CEO of the Urban League of Philadelphia. Also with us is Jenny Sparandara. She's director of JOIN. That stands for the Job Opportunity Investment Network. Also with us, Josh Seven, managing director of regional engagement at the Economy League of Greater Philadelphia. And rounding out our quartet of guests is Lee Huang, senior vice president and principal at Econ Solutions. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at @WHYYRadioTimes. What advice would you have for the next mayor about how to improve the economy of the city of Philadelphia? Stay with us. We'll be right back. Today on Ballot Talks on Radio Times, part of our series, and today we're focusing on what the next mayor can do to attract large and small businesses here in Philadelphia, make the city more competitive on a global scale, grow a skilled workforce, and create good jobs. We have an email from Kathleen who says, when Mayor Nutter was elected, he spoke about helping Philadelphians who had started college but dropped out and complete their degrees. What has happened with this initiative? Wouldn't such a policy ultimately advance Philadelphia's economy? You're nodding there, Jen. You want to add to that?
Yeah, and Josh can jump in because I know he was part of the origination of some of this. But I'm pretty sure that the mayor did create an office within his education office called Philly Goes to College to help facilitate mm-hmm. folks either completing degrees or getting connected to the resources that help them go to school. There's also a wonderful organization in Philadelphia called Graduate Philadelphia that works on that mm-hmm. specific issue, because we know there's a tremendous mm-hmm. earnings bump when you have that sheepskin effect of a diploma, right? It says something about your ability to finish a set of skills, credentials. So am I missing something?
Yeah. Josh, you want to add something?
Well, I think that's it. I mean, over a decade ago, the Economy League did an analysis and found there were 70,000 people in the city of Philadelphia who had started but not completed a degree because they wanted to go down the path, but life happened, right? So that's a really significant number,
sure.
Right? And when you're talking about getting people to the place of family-sustaining wages in our economy, real opportunity. So this organization, Graduate Philadelphia, was created. It has had good support from this administration. There's also a coalition of organizations called Talent Greater Philly. It includes organizations like Campus Philly, which focuses on students who come here for college. So it's a coalition which is about how do we overall grow degree attainment. And the focus has in particular been on completion, how to help folks get that final stage.
And that all sounds wonderful. And I guess to you, Roz, is how do you connect people who need those kinds of services?
Well, that's what I was going to say, because that's even a difficult challenge for us. We have services that are designed to economically empower people. But getting the word out and getting people to know that there is support out there is a big challenge. Mm-hmm. A big challenge. So we have to figure out ways to really promote what we do by going to the places where people are going to hear about it and remembering that everybody's not digitally connected. That's still a big challenge because we have a lot of people coming through our career center to simply use the computer and be online.
Mm, the mayor potentially has a big bully pulpit. Use that for something
yes.
like this?
Yes, to really connect people to those opportunities.
Lee, let me put something else on the table. And actually, we talked about this last week when we were talking about energy and the environment. And this is this energy hub. There are people on several different sides of that particular issue. How critical is that, the development of an energy hub, you think, to the economy of the city and the region and even the next mayor of Philadelphia?
Well, first, I'll note that any vibrant economy has to be a diversified economy. So you want to have lots of different good things going on. And energy can and absolutely should be in that mix. The second thing that you need from for a vibrant economy is to be able to export, to be able to sell things to other people so the money comes into the city and supports local jobs and generates local tax revenues for our schools and our neighborhoods. Tourism is an example of that. Higher education is an example of that. And energy should and can be a very big example of that. So I think that absolutely has to be part of an overall strategy for the next mayor.
Josh, if I can toss that back to you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess it's thinking globally now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And energy can be part of that. But I think this is a hugely important thing for our next mayor, which is to think and act globally. When you get to the fundamental question, how are we going to grow this economy? I don't see any way to do that in a dramatic way without being serious about how our economy connects with the rest of the world. So it's exactly what Lee was talking about. How can we help more existing businesses, small and middle-sized businesses in Philadelphia, sell their goods and services? People often think that we're just exporting goods. That's not the case. Just as our economy has become more service-oriented, so has exports. Recent estimates are about 40% of our exports from Philadelphia are service-based. So we need to really understand what that looks like. And I think that next mayor has a big role in helping make those global connections and telling the story of how a growing Philadelphia economy is a globally connected Philadelphia.
Like going on trade missions? I mean, the way perhaps governors or even presidents sometimes do?
Mayor Nutter had a great one to Tel Aviv and London last year. And you know what they did? They brought along a reporter to actually see just how hard they were working. Sometimes these things, I think, unfairly get labeled as junkets. And the reporter was writing these things saying, the mayor didn't sleep. It was 15 meetings a day with businesses. So I think elsewhere in the world, when you are coming to build a relationship for business, they expect to meet the mayor. That is, in a lot of other cultures, that is just – that's the chief local elected person. That's very important. So I think some of these trade missions strategically done are very important, and they're almost never paid anymore by public dollars. It's almost always private economic development organizations that are allowing a governor or mayor to go. So you can take the how are we spending public dollars question off the table.
Well, and Roz, I guess how does that trickle down to people that have businesses in the city?
I love this question. I was at a global economy session where I first met Josh, and I learned that only 39% of the people in this region have a passport. That to me was a striking number. And I take a look at that and I say, my constituents, it's probably even less. So I'm already, we're looking at a program of where we might create a global fellowship to provide young recent college grads who did not get a semester abroad with an opportunity to go on some of these junkets. I even want to see if we can get our sponsors and donors to underwrite for every young person that comes through the Urban League to have a passport, because just having it psychologically opens your possibilities beyond your front door. So I think it's incredibly important for us to become much more international in our focus and to recognize that even our poorest citizens have to be given the opportunity to be part of a bigger world.
I wonder, I mean, we think of manufacturing in the sort of old-fashioned way, and there are parts of Philadelphia, these, you know, gigantic factories that were a block by a block by a block by a block. Manufacturing is, I mean, it still exists. Doesn't necessarily look like that.
That's right. And, you know, I think in kind of thinking back to some of the discussion we had a few minutes ago, too, about there's a lot of demand out there for jobs, but there's even a lot of demand out there for training programs. So getting the word out, and a mayor getting the word out, is just part of the issue. The other is scaling what works in terms of connecting people to work. And I think the mayor has a tremendous position to both invest city resources and help catalyze philanthropic and other kinds of resources in what works. And one example is some of what's happening with the manufacturing sector here, and sort of groups of manufacturers getting together in kind of sector-based partnerships to identify common needs around human capital. So really, Marty, kind of going in on what are the skills we need specifically? What are the credentials? How can we start exposing young people in the middle school years to what these jobs are? And very importantly, their parents, who may be operating with a very different perspective, so that these jobs are real possibilities. It concerns me that we talk a lot about STEM jobs, and the reality is we're graduating a lot of people from our schools who those jobs will be so far from their reach with the skills they have. So I think we're doing everybody sort of a disservice by just kind of throwing out buzzwords without really parsing what do those jobs look like, what do they include. And industry partnerships are a great way to kind of facilitate that conversation between educators, workforce providers, and the employers.
Do you think, Josh, it's sort of a changing attitudes, or as we say in Philadelphia, attitudes? I mean, from, and it's, you know, maybe more in the past than today, thinking beyond the city, not being so provincial about what Philadelphia is.
Yeah, I think you have seen a broadly changing attitude. I think it has to do with sometimes that old Negadelphia attitude.
Negadelphia.
Piece often was associated with some parochialism. We were talking a little bit beforehand all around the question of retaining talent, how important it is to just for people to go and see other parts of the world, just as Ross said. I mean, when it comes back to the economy, these are the connections that can lead to new business ventures. I mean, at some level, it's interesting. While it's easier than ever to travel and connect globally, it's still economic transactions are still person-to-person people transactions. So in some ways, the more it's about how much more we're connecting into other markets of opportunity. Because again, when you look at our region, not just the city, it's been slow growth. What's our greatest chance to grow that economy? It really is exporting to other places. And the good thing is we can find some markets, some areas where we can compete where it's not this kind of cheek-by-jowl competition within a dense Northeast, right? You can get a small business that's just starting out in a niche manufacturing area and help them get into a South American market where maybe there's a real growth potential. And again, easier than ever as long as we kind of are there to help and broker those connections. And the good news is we've got a lot of those pieces in place. We've got some fantastic assets like the World Trade Center of Greater Philadelphia. State of Pennsylvania has the largest network of people around the globe, authorized trade representatives stationed in different countries, just simply trying to connect businesses back home with economic opportunity. We can build on that.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Well, and Josh, I think that point is right on. And people are a real big part of preparing businesses to be able to do that. And we've seen and we've analyzed that when you grow the skill set of even your frontline workers, it prepares a business to do open all sorts of new business lines, which has resulted in just bottom line gains for those businesses. It comes through investing in their workforce, a lot of other things too, as you know. But that's a way that people can kind of do well by doing good, and that's what we're about.
Lee, I'm thinking about what Roz was saying earlier, that among African Americans in the city, the unemployment rate is closer to 16%, and probably in some neighborhoods, probably, Roz, a lot higher than that. And you know, I hear a great deal of optimism around the table today and many possibilities. I think talking about connector, you know, how do you connect all this to the people who really do need this in the city?
Well, Jenny,
if they're going to get out of poverty, for instance.
Sure. Jenny mentioned early the importance of early exposure, internships, shadowing, mentoring, being able to connect what I'm learning in ninth grade math or fourth grade English to something that is actually useful to my future, whether it is a career in manufacturing or design or import-export, being able to understand that succeeding in school and gaining those skills has an outcome that is something to shoot for, and also having that message that we're investing in the schools. Mm. You know, psychologically, you go into a school, it's falling apart. These kids aren't dummies. They get what that is saying about their society and their city government. And conversely, when you have an investment in a school and you have the attention of workforce people saying, you know, get your education, stay in school, learn these skills, they will directly connect you to very interesting and successful careers. I think that's going to be a big difference maker.
Roz, we actually have a tweet from Ann. She says one priority should be pre-K. It's a win-win-win for kids, the commercial corridors, families, and workforce.
Well, I absolutely agree that the earlier you start someone on the path to a solid education, the stronger their foundation is going to be. On the other end of the spectrum, we have a lot of young people who have gone through and didn't get that along the way, and we have to address it. And I also think that it has to be more of a partnership because having been in education for more than 30-some years, the average teacher doesn't know what careers are out here. So there has to be a lot more partnership in terms of teaching people what is available. I just look even at myself. A lot of what I know about dynamic careers that are a lot of fun, I would have never learned about that in school. So how do we connect those dots in terms of what can really motivate and excite a young person to stay in school? And there are some things happening out here that are just awesome. And somebody needs to be able to convey that with excitement and passion.
You think that somebody can be, should be the mayor? I mean, obviously other people as well.
Well, I think that the mayor and our leaders are certainly a good start. And those leaders should bring to town some of those folks who are doing some dynamic things. So I think passion and excitement about what the 21st century work model is all about is really needed.
Go ahead, Josh.
I just wanted to speak to the pre-K opportunity specifically because I think it's a very important one that maybe hasn't gotten as much attention in the past and has been getting its due recently. Mm-hmm. The Economy League has been part of a statewide coalition called Pre-K for PA, which has really been about messaging just how much of an impact making those crucial first investments. Anyone who's a parent sees those early development stages knows it. And if you speak with a kindergarten teacher, how many kids that they say that really aren't even ready for what's required at the start of kindergarten? And we know investments in high-quality pre-K can get you there. So I'm heartened to hear several mayoral candidates talking about those high-quality pre-K as a priority investment. You're hearing it at state level, too. You're hearing it in a lot of other cities are going towards quality universal pre-K. Challenge for us, given our overall budget challenges, and trying to make sure K-12 is there. But I think there's a real argument to be made that investing in this is actually going to help our K-12 investments, again, by making sure more of our students enter kindergarten prepared to start from there.
Do you think it's that Philadelphia resists change, or putting it another way, I'll put this to you, Lee, which is that it seems like projects in the city take forever to get completed. Do you think that's a systemic problem?
Wow. Okay, where to start? Things take time. Yeah, we're talking about complex issues, you know, we are the birthplace of democracy. And my version of democracy is a lot of people at the table, not just one person saying, let's do this. Okay, a skyscraper gets built or, you know, what have you. So I take with the good and the bad of process. That being said, we do need to communicate. The next mayor does need to communicate. This is a place that's going to work fast. We're going to be effective. We're going to do stuff. And so I think that while I qualify this notion of, you know, things take too long, I think it is important from a messaging standpoint to say we do get stuff done.
Roz, you want to answer
that? Getting back to the pre-K piece, I think it's important to give those young people that foundation, but then we got to be able to maintain it when they get to the next level. And that, if we don't fix a lot of things, those gains will be lost before they even get to high school.
We have an email from Rich says one of the blocks to developing small businesses often cited is government regulations. Name one federal, state, or local regulation. Like, we should focus on local regulation that could or should be changed. Is that something you can grapple with, Josh?
Well, I think it's something that, well, maybe Roz, if you want.
Well, just having been through 9 years of this, and I will probably answer it slightly differently.
Okay.
But we have a process for minority women-owned businesses, and you're supposed to fill out these forms when you're bidding on a contract. Well, there are often tricks that get played to, you know, by faking it, having your wife show up as the woman who has got 51% of your company. I mean, these are just little examples of things that can be sort of wrinkles in that, if you will. So I think that it is a laudable effort to really try to have a list of companies that you can seek, but it's a much more complex issue than what we're led to believe. And having had to apply for stuff, I know.
Well, let's take another short break, and we have much more to talk about. It's Ballot Talks on Radio Times, the fourth part of this mini-series where we are offering advice, solicited, unsolicited, to the next mayor of Philadelphia. And today we're focusing on the city's economy, talking with Roz McPherson, Lee Huang, Josh Seven, and Jenny Sparandara. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Keep those emails coming at radiotimes@whyy.org and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And do stay with us. Much more after this short break. We'll be right back. This is Ballot Talks on Radio Times, a regular Thursday feature of the show. And today in this hour, we are talking about what the next mayor of Philadelphia can do to improve or improve upon the economy of the city. And again, our guests are Jenny Sparandara. She's director of an organization called JOIN. That's the Job Opportunity Investment Network. Josh Seven is managing director of regional engagement at the Economy League of Greater Philadelphia. Roz McPherson, president and CEO of the Urban League of Philadelphia. And Lee Huang is senior vice president and principal at eConsult Solutions. A very interesting off-air conversation that was happening here, but now we're back on the air. And we do want to get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Kamal from, it looks like, Rutledge to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Kamal, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm from PA. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Great conversation. I just had an example and a question for your guests. The School District of Philadelphia is looking at green futures as a way to have sustainable buildings, sustainable energy economy, new playgrounds. It's a fantastic model to catalyze and sustain our schools in the long term. I'm wondering to what extent your guests think that a sustainable economy or green jobs might be a way to invest locally and not necessarily put all of our chips on the exportation model, but just really take care of sustainability as a way to advance Philadelphia.
And Kamal, I appreciate the call. That actually came up last week when we were talking about the energy and the environment, but it looks like, Lee, you want to take that.
Yeah, I'm on the board of Sustainable Business Network of Greater Philadelphia. We're a membership organization of triple bottom line businesses. And I think it's absolutely a competitive advantage for Philadelphia to be successful in growing our economy. To be able to encourage that sort of thinking is very much for both small businesses and large businesses where folks that our movers and shakers want to be. Right. So irrespective of the benefits, and there are many, of running a sustainable business, it becomes a talent recruitment weapon. And that is really how we're going to be successful as a city in a global economy, is attracting that sort of talent.
Jenny, if I could toss that to you, when you think about jobs and connecting people to the jobs, do you think about green jobs?
Yes, and I think...
I hear some hesitation in your voice, though.
What we've seen, and especially sort of coming out of the economic recovery with a lot of investment being pushed out of Washington around this issue of green jobs, I think what we've learned is we're not always really facile at responding to an emerging kind of economy when it comes to job training.
So, and this is we meaning Philadelphia?
We meaning probably everybody. I think this is a national issue, and it also came home to roost here in Philly. But that doesn't mean that this isn't a wonderful opportunity. I think the question always becomes having that place where employers are coming together to very clearly articulate what is the specific demand, what do those skill sets look like, and then using that information to really mobilize our educational and training organizations. But the timing becomes very critical. And lots of lessons we've learned in the past that we could absolutely put into play next time around.
You want to add to that, Josh?
Yeah, well, I think we really do have some dynamic parts of the sustainable economy. There's a fantastic local food movement that's really contained within that larger region. We have a energy-efficient buildings research hub that is commercializing technologies that has the potential for great growth. And I think I'd also say this is something we can export if it is a expertise. Portland has this unbelievable concentration of design professionals. They have organized together. They have something they call We Build Green Cities. They're taking all kinds of small businesses, are going together to places like Japan, South America, getting contracts from cities that are trying to build more sustainable communities. So that's an example of a great local grown sustainability movement that is then helping to grow their economy because they're helping other people become sustainable. I think we have some strengths around sustainability here where we could do the same sort of thing.
I'm thinking water. I mean, the way the city manages water.
Absolutely water. And you get a few things. The city has been an absolute leader around stormwater management, innovation around water. It really is one of the most innovative departments in the city of Philadelphia. We also have some of the largest water utilities, which are very innovative in their business models and how they do what they do based in our region. So it's kind of maybe underreported, underknown, but water is big for Philadelphia.
Well, let me throw out the really nerdy thing, which is infrastructure. But, you know, people are beginning to see how important infrastructure is. And, Roz, I'll toss this back to you, which is this is an old city. And if you travel the streets, it's got its issues, if we can say. How important is that, do you think, to developing the economy, attracting businesses, is to have a very functional infrastructure?
Well, I think it's very important, and building infrastructure allows you to create more jobs. It's interesting. I was reading something else fascinating this morning in the State of Black America report that just came out from National Urban League. And that is, in Missouri, there was this city that used to be a little small town that used to be predominantly African American. But the minute that they decided to put an airport through there and displace some of the residents, they ended up moving out. And those residents ended up in what we now know as Ferguson.
Oh, goodness.
So that was such an example of how we have to pay attention to how we do infrastructure so that we're not displacing and destroying, but putting together models that are going to help improve the lives of the people instead of destroying them.
Yeah, that's such an important issue. You want to add to that, Lee?
Yeah, I'll flip this notion that because we're an older city, we struggle to compete against newer cities. The converse of that is that these newer cities are investing often at great taxpayer expense, billions, tens of billions of dollars in the sort of infrastructure that we all use every day.
Right.
So
public transportation. Public
transportation being the primary example. So that's a huge advantage in terms of what we already have and can capitalize on.
We have a tweet from Lou says, can the next mayor lead the charge in raising minimum wage to a living wage? And to what extent would this improve the economy? You're grinning at me. Go ahead.
Thank you,
go
Lou.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Where I become surprised that we haven't had as strong a presence or agenda is around kind of a good job strategy for Philadelphia. And I think a real opportunity for our next mayor is to think about really incentivizing and sort of working with the business community to make low-wage jobs better. So we know, and I'm sure Lee knows much better than I, that our economy continues to grow in the area of low-wage work. So we could be training people for and placing people in jobs that, in reality, you could be working one, two jobs full-time and really still struggling to make ends meet. So I do think there's a real space there to have a conversation about making jobs better, mm-hmm. raising minimum wage, thinking about supportive work policies, scheduling practices. And it's an opportunity to really partner with the business community to hold up examples of, again, folks who are investing in their entry-level workers and who are seeing the bottom-line gains that can come from that.
I mean, a living wage, is that something a mayor should take on? Josh?
I think it has to be part of that overall good job strategy, whether that's the right approach or not. I think you hear kind of intelligent debate on either side of it. I think kind of building on what Jenny was saying, I think a big role for the mayor in this is to be able to tell the story on what those career pathway opportunities are. It is not enough to get on the hustings and say, we need to. I think so many ways it's telling the story of our economy is a huge part. And in a detailed, real way of what a mayor can really do. And I think there's some great examples of those career pathway pieces where you can take someone who is a nice example in healthcare, high turnover occupations in fast food training programs, which are getting people to family-sustaining wages within healthcare. And it's a partnership between those two sectors. So it's laying out a pathway. Again, it's not the job of the mayor to kind of do all that. It's a job of a mayor to tell that story, the importance of expanding opportunity through mm-hmm. these pathways, and how we're doing a good job on it. I think it's so important in Philadelphia. It's, let's pick a few things that are working here. Keep telling that story because it gives people a sense. And it's all about kind of opportunity and hope to get people moving forward. Show them some examples here of how we're doing it because we have some.
Lee, this is a very specific question, but I'm thinking about, the airport. Is the airport up to snuff? We have ports in this city and this region as well. Are they at a full capacity level?
We definitely need to invest in those very important pieces of infrastructure. We've been talking at length here about the importance of export, about being a globally connected city. Definitely the mayor needs to capitalize on the fact that we have these wonderful and vibrant pockets of ethnic communities throughout the city where their connection to their countries of origin can represent humongous business opportunities and where those relationships exist to do import-export and to do all sorts of good business. Haitian community, the Brazilian community, Nigerian, China, Russia, I could go on and on and on. And I think that being able to tap into the airport and the ports and also, as Josh was mentioning before, the human infrastructure of those relationships is going to be vital for a successful 21st century Philadelphia economy.
You want to add to that, Ross?
Well, and I love when I hear this kind of thinking because that is global inclusive thinking that takes into account this city's diversity in a way that we don't always talk about it. And I think that partnerships have to be across ethnicity. So I get excited when I hear this kind of dialogue because we do have to broaden our thinking about who each of us are and what we can potentially bring to the table.
Josh, do we need to attract more immigrants to the city?
It won't hurt.
Will it help?
Let me be stronger. It will really help. It will really help. When you look at what cities have been growing, often the real growth is around inbound immigrant communities and just what those communities do in terms of revitalizing neighborhoods, new businesses, whether it's just local serving or sometimes these are high growth businesses, adding to that more cosmopolitan global focus. I mean, it's so important to mm-hmm. the future of this city. So I think it's something you want a next mayor to get that and to be very proactive around. Very important.
But as long as they don't come and make it difficult for those who are already struggling to get ahead, because an unspoken issue is that often the attitudes about even African Americans in particular, those negative attitudes come with immigration as well, and we've got to manage that much better.
The fear that immigrants would take away jobs or potential jobs for people who are already here.
Then that's one side of the equation, but also the attitudes, the preconceived notions they bring toward our folks here.
Do you want to add to that, Jim?
Well, I mean, I hear a theme in both Josh and Roz's comments also around really positioning our diversity as a strength.
Yes.
And I was Join's managing partner is the United Way, and we were in a meeting the other day where, and it was so refreshing, you know, you had members, leaders in the business community and in the school district really talking about our strengths. So I think, Josh, you're really onto something, and the next mayor should really be out there telling these positive stories and not just stopping there, looking at the pieces that make them successful and figuring out how we can scale them using city resources and that bully pulpit.
We have a tweet from Joseph. It has a lot of negatives in here. What can be done to take away any company's reason for not locating within Philadelphia city limits? And I guess putting that more positively, how do you attract to you, Josh, how do you attract businesses, more businesses to the city? How do you keep them here?
Well, when it comes to the issue of attraction versus kind of growing anew here, if you ask Select Greater Philadelphia, which is taxed at that recruitment piece, they say 9 times out of 10, the first thing a business is asking about first is talent. Do
right.
I have the, because so many of the enterprises are driven by that. So I think the good news is we've got such great stories to tell, and sometimes we don't really acknowledge just how large of a city we are. So you've got so much talent, and it's a large pool to draw from. So I think, just as Lee said, now you've got talented people wanting to live here, choosing here. So I think trumpeting that, and also certainly trumpeting the great quality of life, mm-hmm. the affordability relative to other comparisons. I mean, there's a reason we're getting more wins on the relocation side. It's because a lot of these assets are really adding up. So I think it's really focusing on those assets.
Lee, one of the reasons I've heard that it's cheaper to live in Philadelphia is that people would rather live somewhere else. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons, although what I hear around this table here is a great deal of optimism about the city.
Yeah, and to pick up on Josh's comment, we have young folks that want to live in Philadelphia. So businesses that are looking for talent, they see that. You also have a diversity of housing choices. And as I mentioned before, there are a growing number of public schools that are really on the rebound. Now, it is still, unfortunately, a very small percentage of our public K-8 schools, and we have to fix that. But it's not just one or two anymore. And so you have a diversity of neighborhoods for folks to choose from, because when you're a business that's looking to relocate into Philadelphia, you're looking for entry level, but you're also looking for different tiers of folks. So you have folks that are asking the question about nightlife, but you also have folks asking the question about schools. And I think that we can, and the mayor can tell that story.
Go ahead, Josh.
I mean, just to throw a stat out there on how much of our growth can really come from relocation, there's research out there that indicates maybe up to 5% of new job growth comes from relocates. You're talking about 50% from new business starts and about 45% from business expansion.
Huh.
So anybody in economic development and a mayor should ask, how much of our energy should really be focusing on the relocation game versus an economic gardening model? Focusing on the plants, so to speak, that we
that
have
are,
here.
They're already here.
Yeah, and how can we grow them? And that's both helping more take root as startups, but then it's those small and mid-sized businesses that are the real growth opportunity, and having your growth strategy focus on them. Again, maybe we might want to put a little more into that relative to trying to recruit someone to move.
Very quickly, we're almost out of time. Go ahead, Jane.
Oh, no, and I was just going to say, and those small and medium-sized businesses, to kind of a point Roz was making, is something we see in the workforce world, have a hard time navigating kind of Byzantine city processes. So the more you can do to create systems that are straightforward and user-friendly, I think the better off you'll be.
Well, we could go on, and my thanks to all four of you for joining us today on Radio Time. It's been a great discussion. Our guests have been Roz McPherson, Lee Wong, Joshua Seven, and Jenny Sparandara. And part four of our series of unsolicited advice to the next mayor of Philadelphia today, we talked about the city's economy, how to grow the economy. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out much more about this program, including how to download a podcast of the show. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can also hear us on Sirius and XM satellite radio. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. Do stay with us. We'll be right back.